Okay. Just want to get involved in this sugya a little bit of the issue of Melech and Shua Seidus, and perhaps use that over the next couple of days as a springboard into the concept of Melech in general. It's a nice topic. And it happens to be, often I find myself reading the Rishimos and I don't really get the message. It happens to be he has a great shiur on Melech, and I think I actually got the message, and I think it's a phenomenal message. So I'm probably going to, I don't know if we'll get to it tomorrow first thing, but maybe the next couple of days we'll do that shiur, because it's just worth it. It's really, you can get through a lot of nice makoros on the Indian of Melech as well, but it's very kedai. Okay, so the Gemara again had a machlokes. Machlokes legabe mesachik bakuvya, but everyone seemed to agree that a melech is not going to be chayv in shuas eidus, because a melech is eino roi lahoid mi de oraisa mashenkein mesachik bakuvya mi de raisa is roi lahoid mi de rabbanan he is pasul lahoid. So that is the lashon of the Gemara, and we spent time on Friday discussing the concept of a psul eidus de rabbanan, specifically that it's not a psul in the gavra, it's a psul in some type of kabbalas eidus in Beis Din, and then we tried to show globally how there are some rishonim who learn that there are some times that the psul derais, the psul de rabbanan can constitute a psul even on a level of deraisa. But that's clearly not the case according to anyone in our case, right? Everyone agrees that Ipsul Darabanan is not Ipsul on a level of Daraisa, even if you could say, we want to suggest maybe the Ran Shita is that the Rabbanan couldn't do it anyway, the Rashba Shita that way, and others, the Ritva, wanted to hold that they couldn't even do it if they wanted to. Whereas Tosfos and the Rambam and Rabbeinu Yonah, they hold that they could do it if they wanted to, but they just didn't. So it doesn't mean, and it's very important, I think, to keep in mind that even it's overused, as I tried to stress on Friday. Minchas Chinuch uses it in a case. You know, Minchas Chinuch doesn't use it constantly, but even I've heard it overused so often, you know, in different contexts. Oh, this is Tosos L'shitaso, and all of a sudden want to say that the Rabbanim were always oker the Din D'oraisa. It's not so posh. You have to look very carefully to see that it's absolutely incorrect to say that Tosfos Shita is whenever the Rabbanan passes something, it's passed on the level of Daraisa. That's not true. This is one of the best riyas you can have. Is that the Psul Tosfos says black and white over here that the Psul Eidus the Rabbanan still has a shame Eidus, even as it's not a chiddush to say the Rashba holds it still has a shame Eidus Daraisa because the Rashba Lashita. So I don't know if you guys got to that in the Makoros, but the Rashba by Hilchos Yom Kippur. About feeding a katan nisser achila derabanan, but you could bring a raya from the Rashba l'shita, so that he holds in general like the shita of the Ran and Psachim and the shita of the Ritva and the Sukkah and Psachim also, that in general psul and derabanan are not possible on the level of deraisa, but afal pichin Tosfos does not say that in many places. I gave you one example from Tosfos by Xeris Tikra. That Tosfos holds Gzeiris Tikra is definitely kosher min haTorah. If you sat in a sukkah that was pasul mishum Gzeiris Tikra, you would definitely be yotzei on a level of deraisa. It's only midrabanan that they said you're not allowed to build a sukkah in such a way. Mashenkin, if you sat in the sukkah where the shulchan was besoch habayis, there the rabbanan hold that you're not yotzei. Tosfos holds that the rabbanan hold you're not yotzei even midrabanan. Right? Okay. So what is the status of the psul edus of a melech? So here, Rashi writes, "Kol shekin melech, d'midaraisa lo chazi, d'chsiv, somta sim alecha melech, shetehei eimaso alecha." Right, you're supposed to appoint a melech, and the aim of the melech is supposed to be upon you. V'abalahoyt tzarech lamod lifnei adayanin, k'darmin le'el, v'derech bizayin ulo. Says, if you're going to come and be meyed, we already pointed out that according to all opinions, you have to stand b'shas ha'adas ha'edus, and therefore, it would be a bizayon to the king for the king to have to stand. So we see memela that a king is exempted from standing, and therefore he's exempted from edus, which is very important that Rashi's pointing out There is no pasuk in the Torah that says a melech does not testify. Right? It doesn't say anywhere in the Torah that a melech is pasul edus. It just, if you put one and one together, you realize that a melech is not roi lahoid min haTorah. Again, melech is kashul edus. However, everybody has to stand when they give edus. And therefore, Rashi says, the melech, you're not allowed to make him stand. Som tasim alecha melech sheteim asu alecha. And therefore, he's not allowed to come and be made. And thus, we see that a melech is not kosher le'edus, or is it not ro'i lahoid. And that's why he should be potter from shavuos edus. That's the seemingly the pashup shot in Rashi. However, if you look in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, it seems like the whole thing is only a takanas chacham. Right? So what's the whole mice over there? You guys are holding a mizan yanim, right? It's funny because with the LT chevra, so we're doing sukkah, as you know. So there is always some overlap between some of these global sugyas, but somebody came over to me today and asked, there's a big tosfos that we're doing on, I think it's Chavavah Medbeis. The big tosfos, it covers a few different topics. So one of the topics he covers is, can someone who ate a kezias, I totally forgot that was in that Tosfos. I didn't really look over anything when I gave it to them. I just sort of like printed up some old makoras that I had from Shirim that I gave years ago. So I gave him what? 7 summers ago. Were you there that summer?
Yeah.
So that was the makoras from that same year. So that big Tosfos on. He covers the topic of Beria, and he covers the topic of Chiyuv Birkas HaMazon in general, Chiyuv Netilas Yadayim. So apparently at the end he discusses, can someone who ate a kezias be motzi someone who ate kedei sviya? So he brings a raya from the Gemara in Brachos of the story of Shimon ben Shetach and Yanai HaMelech. So it's a different story. So it says over there, Yanai HaMelech had already killed out all the rabbis, and he didn't know how to bench, so he needed a rabbi to come and help him bench. So he said to his wife, who was also whatever, I don't know her first name, but something Bas Shetach, right? Because she was Shimon Shetach's sister. And he said to his wife, I need a rabbi here to help us bench. And she said, I'm not going to call a rabbi for you unless you promise you're not going to kill him, and you're not going to bother him. Right? So he says, okay, I swear, I'm not going to kill him, not going to bother him. So she calls her brother, Shimon Shetach, and he gives Yanai a hard time. So he's whatever. Yanai tries to be nice to him a little bit, and he rejects it, and whatever. Lysa, we see that they weren't friends. So the Hanukkah parties in the family were a little bit tense. So when everybody got together, it was a little Shimon Shetach and Yanai didn't get along so well. So the bottom line is that we know there's a story of one of the reasons that they weren't friends. Although, if you read the Gemara in Sanhedrin, it's clear they weren't friends before that. So Shimon ben Shetach gives Yanai a hard time, and he says, "I want you to stand up." And Yanai says, "I'm not going to stand up unless the rest of the rabbis tell me I have to stand up." So he looks at the rest of the rabbis. They were a little scared of Yanai, so therefore they refuse to make him stand up. And then Shimon ben Shetach gets mad at them, and then they all die. So if you put two and two together, right? So you understand there's more to the story about them dying, right? I think we spoke about this already once. No, we talk about this ever?
Yeah.
So it's a you could put the two stories together, and you could start understanding how agaritas and history sort of intermingle, right? That in other words. A lot of times, it's like what we talked about with Asar Harugi Malchus. It took a couple of generations for Asar Harugi Malchus to die, and then retrospectively, Chazal understood that this was one thing, and this was the reason, etc., etc. Right? So too, by Yanai HaMelech, they didn't. I don't think the Sanhedrin just all died on the spot, right? But Pashta says that Yanai killed them out, and when Chazal looked at the incident, they understood that it all dates back to this Maisa that took place, and that was the reason why the Sanhedrin was nigzar on them that they should die. I don't know, something along those lines. I can't prove it, but it's just a thought. So, So anyway, so from that Gemara, it seems very clear that is only a din midrabanan, that we're not meyid lodan and osov, lo meyid lo meyidin osov. So he said last time that there's different girsos over there, right? So what's the girsa doesn't have lo meyid lo meyidin osov. You're not supposed to be meyid on the melech. So that would help us if that was the answer. You don't have the girsa at all in the first place. Although the girsa of Lodan, Lo Meid, Lo Meidin, so is also Mishnah and Horios. So Mishnah and Horios says, that exact Lashon, Amelech Lodan, Lodan, so Lo Meid, Lo Meidin, so. Right. So again, so it doesn't prove anything. But in other words, the flow of the Mishnah is mashma that they're the same thing, and the Gemara never comes right out and says. Meaning, I don't know if the absence. Meaning, let's say you don't have that statement anymore. That zehu, right? So let's say you don't have that next line in the Girsa. Is that coming la'afuke the flow of the Mishnah that now all of a sudden we say that? No, and din is one thing, and avis is another thing. It could be, obviously, you can't say not. But on the other hand, when the Mishnah has them together and with a normal flow, and then comes the Gemara and just has half the story, that's not, and it doesn't explicitly say, like, well, one is deraisa, one is derabanan. So it's not necessarily a big raya that we split the reason between the two. It doesn't prove. I don't think it proves it one way or the other. And Lameisa, even if it has the text, I don't think it disproves it. So that a lot of times you have the Fumriyata, they give you the whole spiel, even though that wasn't really part of the reason. Although again, it would have been nice had one of the Rishonim on the daf pointed out. Yeah, it's lav dafka lo meid lo meidin osa. What? By us, yeah. Right? By us, it says it. So that's okay. So that's good enough. Lameisa, the Ritva is just saying like it's just the Fumriyata that they throw it in, but it's not really that bad. Now, it would have been, I'm just saying, it would have been nice if somebody in Sanhedrin would have pointed it out.
He doesn't say, he doesn't point out the gear, so he has the gear stuff. We don't know what his gear stuff is.
Right, but I'm just saying that I don't think it really matters that much whether the gear was one way or the other. I think the Rishonim would be comfortable. Tosas does it all the time. Tosas is like, it throws it in, but it doesn't mean that one.
Especially given the Gemara at the beginning of the parak, it says that the map by going God, but also something is through and gone. It's possible.
Right. Right. So it's not the world's biggest deal whether you have the girsa or not. In the end of the day, you could still be machalik. Okay, but it's interesting that just Rashi is learning it as a separate din that's just applied over here. Now the question becomes, why does Rashi say that? Well, no, excuse me, take it back. Why does Rashi say that it's impossible for the melech to be meyid when we already had this discussion lagabe a Talmud Chacham? When we said by a Talmud Chacham, I say the kvod Torah adif, and you have Tosfos on Laman Amid Beis who asked the question. So wait a second, what about a melech? So he said, im tomar kol shekein kvod melech sharei eno yochol limchol al kvodo va'amai ukme shimon ben shetach liyana melech per kohen gadol b'sanhedrin. Ishlomar, the shiny din and the is the chamire. So first the answer was, nothing to talk about. Of course, a melech would not be coming to a trial which was dinei mominus. He would never come to dinei mominus trial, just like a Talmud Chacham wouldn't come to dinei mominus trial. But dinei nefashos, everybody comes. Right? So that's pashut, that everybody has to come to a dinei nefashos trial. Was it a dinei nefashos trial? Right. So it's dinei nefashos of the Eved, I guess, that they were trying to figure out. So he was an aide for the din and nefashos of the Eved. Is that the pshat?
He wasn't an aide. He was the Baal. He was the Baal of the next king based
on. Right. So then, what was he doing? Like, I didn't understand the whole whole Maisa.
The Mishnah points out the Lashon of Yehuda Chazal very, very loud. It's not the
right.
Aide. He's just there. But I mean, it's not having a fucking also. It's not like they're fighting. They're calling him the
Baal. Right.
You call by a short call the nefashos, and the Gemara says the only distinction is the fucking would not make the other.
Right. Yeah, so you have to say it was some kind of dinei nefashos. I'm not sure exactly what the process they were undergoing at the time. Was that Shas Gemar Din? Was that Shas Edus? It's really hard to know what was going on in the Gemara over there, because that's not really the focus of the Gemara, Lamaisa. So But Tosfos raises the issue and says that, okay, you're right, that was a case of dinei nefashos, and this is a case of dinei mamonos, and that's why Yanai had to come to court. But in Achinami, it was pashut to start with that he would never have had to come to court to testify for dinei mamonos. And then the second answer is that shiny dinei nefashos. Inami b'makom she'in chacham mochel akvodo chamer kavod Torah mikavod melech. Right. So he said no. It's just a din, it's a quirk in Mechila, right? So we discussed this at length. There's a quirk in Mechila, but it doesn't mean that the kavod that you give to Talmud Chacham is less than the kavod you give to Melech. You give the Talmud Chacham more kavod than you give the Melech, but sometimes the Talmud Chacham is going to be mochel on the kavod, and therefore he'll come, versus a Melech who can't, I'm sorry, sometimes the Talmud Chacham has the right stam to be mochel on his kavod, and therefore that's just a quirk in his din. Mashen came the Melech, who's not as chayiv and as much kavod, but Mela can't be mochel on it for other reasons. So, two answers of Tosfos again. Number one, kavod of a melech is greater than kavod of Talmud Chacham. Just that in the case of Yanai Melech, it was dinei nefashos, right? Answer number two, the kavod of a Talmud Chacham is greater than the kavod of a melech, and that's why Talmud Chacham doesn't have to come to a dinei mamonos case, but Efshur, the melech would have to come to dinei mamonos case. That's the possibility, right? So comes along, the Rashash just points out, he has a one-liner over there, and he just points out that Rashi works very nicely according to the second answer of Tosfos. He doesn't really work within the first answer of Tosfos, right? First answer of Tosfos was saying that the kavod of a melech is greater than the kavod of a Talmud Chacham. So how come Rashi doesn't work there? Right, so Talmud Chacham, we already said, if he comes to dinner, first of all, he doesn't have to show up. Second of all, even if he has to show up, he doesn't have to stand, he could sit. So then Rashi would say, Avada Melech would have to show up if he was going to be allowed to sit, right? Because if he's going to be allowed to sit, there's no bizayon to his kavod, and he would have to be made. Assuming that it wasn't stam of bizayon to his kavod to just show up in the first place. In other words, in the Gemara, they said, let's say the guy who's doing who's the head dayan in the basin over there is a lesser Talmud Chacham than the guy they want to come testify. So they said the Talmud Chacham doesn't have to show up in the first place. So you could argue also that the Melech doesn't have to show up in the first place because it's beneath his kavod. Meaning, if this guy's a lesser Talmud Chacham than the biggest Talmud Chacham in town, so Mela, the Melech shouldn't have to show up either. But let's say he wants to show up and he wants to sit. It's not a bizui for him to show up and sit. That's a way of giving him kavod. So Mela, he wouldn't have to stand up, and he wouldn't have to testify while standing in front of the dayanim. So that would be an example of not being mevaza as kavod. So would that work according to Rashi? If he's saying the guy can sit, no, doesn't work. Doesn't work. So that's the Rashash's taina. Is that a great taina? What is he accomplishing? No, I'm saying that he's trying to be medayik that Rashi doesn't hold like Tosfos. Tosfos holds that the Talmud Chacham has less kavod than a melech, right? So Rashi can't hold that way. Rashi can't be holding that way. That's what he's trying to say. Meaning, does Rashi dafka mean that if you say to me, what's the reason the melech doesn't give edus? The answer is because he has to stand. Yeah, but if you would sit, it would be okay. Well, I'm dafka. You could say that Rashi just means that's the, when you come to give edus, you stand up, and in Mela, that's a bizayon for the melech. But who had dinami? Like we just said, coming to court in the first place would be a bizayon to the melech. So we just said that meaning, if Rashi holds that a Talmud Chacham shouldn't have to come, I'm sorry, if the Gemara holds that a Talmud Chacham shouldn't have to come testify in a court case in front of a lesser Talmud Chacham, then Kol Shekein HaMelech shouldn't have to come and testify in a court case. So says the Rashash, that's a raya, the fact that Rashi Dafka chose that over just saying the Gemara that the Talmud Chacham doesn't have to show up in the first place is a raya that Kavod HaMelech is less than Kavod HaTorah. You hear? So I'm not. First, I wasn't so into it, but as I hear myself say it, it's not. It's pretty good, because Rashi could have said that. No.
According to Rashash, why is Talmud Chacham
according to the Rashash?
According to this theory, Rashi also like those words that come down much better than Kavod HaMelech. That whole justification for not being Moshe because that's the Kavod.
No, so according to that's the Rashash's point, that Rashi must hold that the kavod of the Talmud Chacham is greater, and therefore in certain cases he's not chayev to come, and then he wouldn't be chayev in Shavuos Eidos, or he would be chayev to come and he would testify while seated, and therefore he would be chayev in Shavuos Eidos in those cases. But he's not completely mufka from the parsha of Eidos because he's or the parsha of Shavuos Eidos because he's chayev to he is chayev to come under certain circumstances. Right.
And I'm saying it's the kavod.
Right.
The only kavod of Chacham is greater than Mishir Kosh can be totally mufka in Shavuos Eidos.
Right. But you could say that he's not mufka because he could find himself in Beis Din testifying if he so chooses, or if it's not a fit, meaning no one holds that it's a bizayon to the Talmud Chacham to come to someone who's on his level and then sit. Right? So that's not officially a bizayon. So in that case, everybody would agree, like the Turi Evan and everybody else would say that it would not be considered a public disgrace of the Talmud Chacham for him to come to court. So Mameli, he's in the parsha of giving Eidus under those circumstances, so he would definitely be Chayav in Shavuos Eidus. Masha'en came, the Melech, who has this quirk that he can't be Mochel, so therefore, he doesn't really have a tziur in which he would be in court. So that's, I think what he would say. Okay. Now the Ritva says a little differently. Let's read it inside. Lafuke Melech, near in Divrei Rabboseinu Balei HaTosfos. So the Ritva has been quoting a lot of mystery Balei HaTosfos. It could be that, you know, we spoke yesterday about Tosfos that have been lost. Could be that he's referring to Tosfos that were lost. It could be some, you know, something that people quoted to the Ritva, B'shem the Balei HaTosfos. It's hard to know, right? The Ritva lived in Spain at the same time as the Rush was there. So it could be he had a lot of ideas that of the Shitas of the Balei HaTosfos from the Rush. Who knows? I don't know. I know the Rashba and the Rush had a very warm correspondence after the Rush fled from Germany after a few years after they took the Marami Rutenberg. So he realized that he was in for a similar fate. So he when he saw the writing on the wall that it was, you know, that they were going to take him also. So then he fled the country and he went to Spain. But so then when he was in Spain, he had a very warm relationship with the Rashba. I think the Ramban was gone by then. So the Rashba was there. And Mestama, he had sheikhs to the Ritva also. I don't know. But it's quite possible that he had sheikhs to the Ritva. So it could be that that's where the Ritva got his info on the Balei HaTosfos. Or it could be from somewhere else, and I'm just making that up. So so he quotes a lot of Balei HaTosfos that we don't have. And then he says, Sha'omrim the stama ka'omar b'chol melech. Pasha says we're talking about every king. Va'afilu malchei beis David. V'yafal gav da'atanan per kohen gadol melech lo dan v'lo dan enos so lo meid v'lo meid enos meid en lo ukimna ma'idikotani lo dan v'lo dan enos so b'malchei Yisrael dafka avalo b'malchei beis David. Tachsibu dino levaker mishpat. We came on the chain, Dainin and Lu, Mishum is Koshu Vakoshu. Right? Once we say that Malchus based David is supposed to be great judges, so Mela, we say is Koshu Vakoshu, Koshar Atzmachavacha, Koshar Acherim, and therefore we know that you have to be able to be Dan, meaning Shlomo, David HaMelech, we talk about from time to time in the Gemara, David HaMelech, when he would be Dan a certain case, or he'd paskin a certain Shaila, or whatever it was, and certainly Shlomo HaMelech, the whole world used to come to him to be poshate their sveikos and be Dan their cases, etc. So it must be that it was you were able to be Dan them as well. Otherwise, how are they being Dan all these cases? Hainu dafka lagabe Dan v'dan enoso umitayim edach sivna. Avalagabe Mashishaninu Sheino Meyid Shumishum Kvodo Bachom Melech Humit Dahamidaraisahu Vidumi de Tsurmirabanadalo Azalakame Dayana de Batsamine Lasude. So he says it's Dafka because of the Kavod, and it's not really a Kasha from the Gemara over there, because like we said, the Gemara over there was never talking about being Meyid. That's a din in the Kavod of the Melech, and therefore, it just like a Talmud Chacham shouldn't have to come to a lesser Dayan to testify, right? So too, the Melech shouldn't have to come. The Melech Sheino Meyid Midaraisa Uchidam Ridan Uman Damar Melech Melech in Mesach Bekuvia Midaraisa Mechsachazi the Alma Melech. Okay, it's not a milsa de psika, because for a ben melech, maybe he could. Okay. So Tosfos is saying that the Gemara elsewhere is not really a kasha, and this idea of lo meid ve lo meidin also is a universal concept, and therefore we give cover to the Melech. Now, if you notice, I don't know if you notice this, in footnote 145 over here, he says at the very end of the footnote, Ulfiza Osi Shaper Nami Divrei, not Divrei Rashi, one second. V'hinei Gam Rabbeinu Shama Divrei Maskel Omar Hiksha Kikushis Atosus. So he puts in the Divrei Maskel Omar Hayasev Hayasev the Kvod Torah Adif, which is the same Divrei Maskel as a Tosos over there. He asks the kasha of Tosos. V'ikshu b'Tosos imkain lama ha'amidu liyanei ha'melech. Why did they make Yanei ha'melech stand? The ha'ika asei the morim malchus ha'kvodo the Adif ma'isa me'asei the Kvod Torah. The ilu arav shemach kvodo kvod ha'malchus melech malchus ha'kvodo in kvod ha'malchus v'tirtzu. And Tosos answers, although this is not the answer that we just saw in Tosos. Delegabe mile didan asay de malchus odif. Kideshete moroso al ha'am. Right? When it comes to our relation to the king, when it comes to the masses, then you're right. It is our responsibility to give a great deal of kavod to the melech, more so than a Talmud Chacham, because we need to fear the melech. And the melech needs to be feared by us. Says that there's a second issue, not just the way we relate to the king, but the way the king relates to the Am and the way the king relates to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Right? So he has to be machnia his heart in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Gsev levilti rum levavo, v'zeu shem liyanei amur al raglecha, v'yidu b'cha shalom yilfaneinu ato omeid, ele lefnei mishamar v'hoya olam. I don't know if I'm right about this, but I think whenever they use that kinui for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mishamar v'hoya ha'olam, it's almost always as a comparison of powers. Right? It comes to mind the Medrash in Parshas Baaloscha, by even saw Aram by Yoram Moshe, Kuma Hashem v'yafutzo oyevecha. Right? So he says, Kuma Hashem v'yafutzo oyevecha. And the Gemara asks, the Medrash asks, the chi yesh oyevim lifnei misha amar v'haya olam. And they quote the pasuk, v'rov geonecha taros kamecha. V'chi, we say in Shira Sayam, with your great splendor, I don't know, Gaoncha is like your Gaonis, but your Gaiva, your Gaonis, like with Rov Gaoncha, Taharos Kamecha, you overturned those who stood up against you. Right? So then they say again, the Chiyesh Kamim, Lifnei Misha Amar Oya Olam. Right? So he says, is there someone who could stand up against the Ribbono Shel Olam? But both times they use that Kinui. It's I think the Chazal are doing it to Dafka create the starkest of contrasts. Right? They're saying, I'm going to fight, I'm an Oyev of the Ribbono Shel Olam. What are you going to do? I'm going to eat Chazar on Yom Kippur. Okay, good luck winning that fight. Like, it's not a fight, right? I'm going to stand up against the Ribbono Shel Olam. I have a gun. Okay, what does that mean? I have a really big gun. I have a nuclear weapon. Again, like, Baruch She'omar V'hoya Ha'olam. Like, he spoke and the universe was created. Like, what are we talking about over here? You know, it's not. It's a contrasting term. So also, Yanai HaMelech, he says to, Shimon Shetach says to Yanai HaMelech, when you stand, realize you're not standing in front of us. You are more powerful than we are, but you're not more powerful than Misha Amar V'Haya Olam. You're not more powerful than the Ribbono Shel Olam. Not just Stam another Kinoi, but it's a contrast in powers that you can order the deaths of all of us, but the Ribbono Shel Olam spoke and created reality. You know, that's the. It's important to keep that in mind. I don't know if it works. You know, think about it. You know, if you ever see that Kinoi used by Chazal, I think check it out. See if it holds true. But anyway, but that diuk in the lashon, the Ritva says, is legit because he was specifically trying to contrast what kavod you owe to Basar V'dam, which in which case Basar V'dam would be more chayiv to mechabe Yanai than anybody, versus the kavod that Yanai owes to the Ribbono Shel Olam, which is greater than that, and therefore. Levilti Rom Levavo, we don't want the king to get arrogant, and therefore we dafka make him stand under certain circumstances. So he dafka has to stand in front of the Beis Din, and therefore he would be pater from Shavuos Eidus. So that's what the footnote was referring to over here, that if you look in the Ritva's teretz to that kasha, so which style of answer does that fit into in Tosfos? The first style or the second style? So the first style, that really the kavod of the melech is very great and might even be greater than the kavod that you give to a Talmud Chacham. But there's a quirk in the din of the kavod that you give to the melech that he has to be mechaved those things which represent HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's just a quirk in the din of Kavod HaMelech, right? Why is the Melech? Melech has certain mitzvos that he has that are special for him, right? So we say, Lo Yar Belo Nashim, Lo Yar Belo Susim, right? So that's because, let's Levilti Rom Levavo, we don't want him to get too full of himself. What else does he have to do? Maybe the most of all of them that he has to do to try to keep him in check? He has to write a second Sefer Torah. He has to keep a Sefer Torah with him at all times, right? So everybody else, it's enough if we have a Sefer Torah sitting in the Aron Kodesh. Right? That's so you write a Sefer Torah, you put the Sefer Torah in the Aron Kodesh, Gevaldik, you look what you did. But the Melech has a mitzvah to write a personal Sefer Torah on top of the one that he keeps in the Aron Kodesh. He has to keep it on his person. Right? I don't remember who says what, but I recall that he had one of the Rishonim said that he had like a sticky armband that he used to wear with the, you guys know what I'm talking about? He would wrap it around his arm. Yeah. Right, it was definitely very small, but he like even wore it. Does everybody hold that way, or is it just one of the dais in the Rishon? I don't remember. It's been a number of years since I saw that Gemara. I know there was. He definitely had to have it with him at all times. So that was, again, this idea that the Melech has a special mitzvah that he should not become too full of himself, because it's very easy to become very full of yourself, and everyone is telling you that you're the king. So, and everyone is chayef to listen to everything you say. Or they're more b'malchus. So it's very easy for the melech to become full of himself, and therefore he has certain mitzvos that he has to follow in order to make sure that doesn't happen. So, but the idea is that we want the melech to keep himself in check, and therefore he would have to stand in front of the dayanim, right? And which dayanim would that apply to? Which dayanim would that be referring to? Dine Mamanus or Dine Nefashus? Well, definitely Nefashus, but what about Mamanus? Would that apply? Would he be chayat to stand in front of the Dine Nefashus? You know the answer, you're just not thinking of it right now. Meaning again, the original comment of the Ritva was talking about what case? Mamanus or Nefashus? All right, we're getting too confused over here. Let's take a step back. The Gemara says that the Melech is not Ra'u L'Eidus, and therefore he's parted from Shavuos Eidus. Right? What are we talking about? Eidus Mammon or Eidus Nefashos? Mammon. Shavuos Eidus is only Shayach to Dine Mammonus, right? So then the Ritva says, how could it be that he's Shayach to Edus, right? How can you say that he's not shaykh to Edus? It seems from there was only a gzerah. No, he says that we're always potter from Edus. That was just a din in Dayanus, right? But there he's dafka talking about Mominus. Right, so and then when we go back to the previous comment of the Ritva that he's mechuyev to give kavod to the dayan levilti rum levavo, right? So that's also talking about dinei mominus. So it's specifically talking about dinei mominus, not dinei nefashos, and therefore the melech would not be allowed to sit in the presence of the dayanim under those circumstances. So it would be a pagam in his kavod to come out and to testify under those circumstances, even in dinei mominus, right? And furthermore, you could say just not any kind of a major diuk, but what do we call dayanim in the Torah for dinei mominus cases? Elohim, right? V'nikra v'al ba'is elo Elohim, right? So we bring the people to the dayanim who are referred to as Elohim, and therefore they have this type of srara which they represent the Shekhinah. Right, and the Gemara in Sanhedrin has many nice comments about Dayanim who are Dan Din Emes. They represent the Shekhinah. So those are all Dinei Mominus cases. So Dinei Mominus fits in very nicely with this whole package deal that the Ritva is trying to sell over here, that the Melech is Chayef to give Kvod Shemayim to the Dayanim because they represent their Ribono Shel Olam in this case. And therefore, it's not dafka chilik between dinei nefashos and dinei mominus. It's about giving kavod to the dayanim. And therefore, memela, it's a little bit circular. Think about it for a second. Why does the Ritva say the melech doesn't have to come and testify? So why doesn't the melech come testify? What? Because of his kavod, right? But why don't we just say let him come and let him sit? Because he can't. Because he would have to give kavod to the dayanim had he shown up, right? So his kavod, ironically, doesn't protect him from the dayanim. So since his kavod doesn't protect him from the dayanim, and it would be a bizui to his kavod to show up and testify, memela, you don't bring him. It's there's nothing, no chiddush in there. It's an observation. You know, it's just because his kavod loses to the dayanim, not in a case because his kavod is less than dayan, because he's also mechuyev to give certain types of kavod, and that would be a bizui to him, so we don't make him come in the first place. But again, what do we see from both Rashi and the Ritva? What type of psul edus are we talking about? Right? What type of psul edus are we talking about? Right, it's not a psul again. So just to go back to what we were saying by the Masachit Bakuvia, I think certainly these two opinions would agree. We're not talking about a psul edus in the Gavra at all. We're talking about some type of din in Kabbalah edus or some type of din in making him come to Beis Din, because there's nothing wrong with him. It's a result of something that affects him. You understand? You got to give the melech kavod. Memela, the melech can't come to testify. If we would ever be able to create a circumstance where it was not a bizui kavod to the melech, then avada he would be able to testify, and he would be kosher to give edus under those circumstances, and he would be chayiv in shuas edus, right? But since there's no such scenario that we're working with in our gemara, we say he's eino roi lahayid, and therefore he is not chayiv in shuas edus. Okay. Now, if you look in the Rambam in Hilchos Shavuos, says the Rambam, Perek Yud Halacha Aleph, Hayu Eidav O Echad Mehen Pasul O Karov V'Afilu Mipsule Eidus Shel Divrayem Osha Ya Melech Echad Me Eidav Sheino Ra'ui Lahaid Osha Hayu Eid Mipi Eid. Right, so any of the above cases, the kafru, the nishbu, ptur mishvu seidus, sheilu heidu lohayu mechuyav and beidusan mamon. So, how is the Rambam paskening? First of all, in our Gemara, it's two days in the Gemara. If you recall, sometimes we get far away from the Gemara, so we got to remind ourselves what the Gemara actually says. Right, so we had a machlokis in the Gemara. We had a machlokis in the Gemara, Rav Kahana. I'm sorry, I'm reading the wrong place over here. Right? So we have Rav Papa Lafuke Melech and Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Lafuke Misachik Bekuvya. So is he holding like Rav Papa or is he holding like Rav Acha Bar Yaakov? Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. Because Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, the Gemara says, not only does he include Misachik Bekuvya, but Kol Shekein Melech. It's Pashut. Right? Because if he's going to include Psule de Rabbanon, he's certainly going to include Psulim de Oraisa. Now, we got to be careful with that word, Psulim de Oraisa. It's not so poshut. Meaning, it's the Mishnah was very meduyak with its lashon of Eino Ra'ui Lahoid. Right? As opposed to Pusul. Right? I wouldn't say that he say, oh, Melech is Pusul Edus. Right? So if you're just talking Stam, it's fine to say a Melech is Pusul Edus. But based on what we've said up until this point, a melech is not pasul le'edus, he's just eno roi lehoid, right? And it's an important chilek, right? The Rambam says, right, he says, let's say the guy is pasul, or a karov, or pasul derabanan, then he says, melech she'eno roi lehoid, right? So he's making that chilek again, and it's just, again, that's just the lashon of the Gemara, right? That he's saying that a melech is begeder eino roi lehoid. But he's not begeder posel. Right? We don't find such a lashon. Right? We don't find such a lashon posel in the Gemara. No. So the Rambam is going with the lashon of the Gemara, but who had the nami? It's something for us to pay attention to. Something for us to pay attention to, that the Rambam holds that a melech is eino roi lehoid. And that's why he's parted from Shavuos Eidus, because even if he would give Eidus, it wouldn't do anything. What? Ah, so that's going to be a good nafkamina. So let's say the melech shows up and he's part of a kat, right? So now do we say that because he's part of the kat, the whole kat is batel? Right, that's a different application of the Eidush Shebatla Miktsasa Batla Kula. It's a different application, right? Usually we say that if some of the testimony is going to be Batla, the other part of the testimony. Here we're talking about one of the Eidim versus the other Eidim, right? So here are we going to passel the whole Kat, right? Or are we going to say, no, the Melech, he's just not a good aid, but he's not going to ruin everything for everybody else, right? So similarly, we say, you know, for Misachi Bakuvia, something like that. Is he going to ruin the whole group, or is he not going to ruin the whole group? So this is... So this is a question. So if you saw the Rishimos, so he writes that when it comes to Rashi Shita, Rashi holds is not lefi chvodo, but if he would be meyid, so maybe you could argue within Rashi that his edus would count for something. Right? Now we know Tosfos can't hold that way, and we know the Rashba can't hold that way. How do we know the Rashba and Tosfos can't hold that way? Let's say the maid said, I'm mochel on my cover. We say, but sir, you're not allowed to be mochel on your cover. I'm mochel. I'm testifying. Right? And he gets up there and he testifies. Does it count or does it not count? So you could argue within Rashi that if he would have been meid, it would count. Right? You could not. You could argue that's not true. But if the whole thing is just a psul in his covet and therefore we don't want him there, we don't want to force him to come, let's say he showed up anyway and he didn't care and he testified, so would it count for something? You could argue that it would count for something. That's an argument you could make. The Rambam clearly says even if he would testify and even if a Misachik Bekuvya would testify, it wouldn't count for anything. Right? So what would the other Rishonim say about that? What would the other Rishonim say about that? So, well, let's talk about what we do know. Tosfos says, within the opinion of Rav Papa, right, that a Misachik Bekuvya, we accept a Misachik Bekuvya. So if the Misachi Bekuvia testified, what would it do? Right? We would accept it to some extent. Right? To some extent. And Tosa says that even if we wouldn't accept it, we would say that it's kosher in a Torah. So manavshach, either it's if you're an aid that's kosher in a Torah, or you're an aid that we accept midrabban, and either way you need to swear Shavuos Eidus. The Rashba says there are certain nafkaminas. We won't be motzi mammon al piv, but maybe it'll work linyan tfisa. Maybe it'll be considered a davar agorim l'mammon. So you see, the Rashba holds that if a Misachi Bekuvia would testify within Shitas Rav Papa, it would work for something. Now, does that translate over? Does that translate over? You hear what I'm asking?
Melech as well.
Meaning, let's go over to, before we even go to Melech, would it translate over to our accepted halacha when it comes to Misachi Bekuvia? Before we get to Melech.
Yes. You kind of expressed the focus in two ways.
Yeah?
They're arguing about the status of Misachi Bekuvia itself or the threshold for Shavuos Eidos.
Right.
The argument of the threshold for Shavuos Eidos in Achanan could be that even Achar Yaakov holds that Misachi Bekuvia can cause it, but you know, the troubles of Tisa, it's just not enough for Shavuos Eidos. Or you can say he totally disagrees with that.
So let's say you say the first way, that the Rashba would say, if a Misachik Bekuvia testifies, right, this is within the sheet that a Misachik Bekuvia is not chayav in Shavuos Eidos, right? The Misachik Bekuvia testifies, is that workling in Tfisa? Is it workling in Tfisa? So it's hard to know for sure, but basically, what was the machlokas? What was the machlokas in terms of why a Misachi Bekuvia does swear Shavuos Eidos or not? So, if you could say, again, this is what Adam is saying. If you say that the reason Misachi Bekuvia is potter from Shavuos Eidos is that it's Mahani Tfisa according to everybody, just who cares, right? It's Mahani Tfisa according to both Deus. Right? It's just, we wouldn't say that that's Mechayiv in Shavuos Eidos. So what you end up with is a Machlokes purely in Shavuos Eidos, nothing to do with anything else. You understand? It's just a Machlokes in the gedder of what Shavuos Eidos covers. It's very local. So according to Rav Papa, if you swear and it's Mahani Tfisa, you're Chayav in Shavuos Eidos. Corner of Acha Bar Yaakov, if you swear and it's, I'm sorry, if you, I say swear, I mean, if you testify and it's Mahani Tfisa, then you're Chayav in Shavuos Eidos. And according to Acha Bar Yaakov, if you testify and it's just Mahani Tfisa, it's not Chayav in Shavuos Eidos. That's not enough. That's not enough of an Imlo Yagid. That's not considered a real Haggadah's Eidos Ad Kedei Kach that we're going to make you Chayav in Shavuos Eidos. That's the Machlokes. Right? And everything that everybody said about Shitas Rav Papa basically is true about Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, just he holds that you're not Chayav Shavuos Eidos for that. One minor detail. Right? That's one way to look at it. And within that way to look at it, what would Rashi say about the Melech?
Hard to say it's not, I say so.
What?
Hard to say it's not.
Why? No, we're not within Rav Papa now. We're saying for Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, meaning Rav Acha Bar Yaakov just holds, yeah, it could be Mahani Tfisa, just, you know, we don't care, Linyan Shavuos Eidos, it doesn't matter. So, L'chora, that's what Rav Soloveitchik was assuming when he read Rashi, to say that, if Rashi's going to say that it's just a psul in the covet of the Melech, so Mamela, if he would testify, it would be Mahani Tfisa. Why? Because he's understanding that the whole thing is just a local machlokes within Shavuos Eidos. And Rav Papa holds that if you testify and that creates something, right, something that you can be Mahani Tvisa, that's good enough that you're Chayim and Shuas Eidus. But Rav Acha Bar Yaakov says, no. Says it. Both the Mesachim Bekuvia and the Melech are a similar psul. They're similar. What's the nature of the psul? That it's not a psul in the Gavra. It's a psul that we're not makabel you, and that we won't act on your testimony fully. But we will admit that there's certain nafkaminas, you know, very small nafkaminas. And the question is that enough for Shmuel Seidus? And Rav Acha Bar Yaakov says, no, it's not enough. What do you mean?
So Rav Papa cannot hold that Melech Mahani Tvisa.
Not right.
So then the Machlokes is more than just a local Machlokes in Shmuel Seidus. It's also Machlokes about Melech.
What do you mean?
If Rav Acha Bar Yaakov hold, Rav Papa cannot hold the Melech Mahani Tvisa.
If that's his sole reason that he's going to be Mechayev, right? So therefore, if, like, within the Rashba for sure, right? You can't hold that way.
So that means that if you want to take the whole Machlokes is about Shmuel Seidus and not about
beyond that, then Rav Yaakov also cannot hold Melech Mahani Tvisa. Because if Melech Mahani Tvisa,
then there's
a great Machlokes beyond that's Melech Mahani Tvisa. One second. So, how's he understanding Rashi then?
Rav?
Yeah. And he's understanding Rashi that it's Mahani
Tvisa,
right?
Okay, at least Mahani Tvisa.
At least it's something. It's something. So let's assume Mahani Tvisa is the smallest,
right.
Smallest nafkamina.
It's hard to draw a plug for Yahya and the Papa now. He's only speaking within the Bath of Yaakov Rashi? That's just Mahani.
No, he's speaking within everybody, but then what's the Machlokas?
Right.
Right. So no, I'm hearing your Taina. I'm just trying to figure out.
You have to draw a plug between Melech and Mesachim Bekuvia now.
Right.
And it's hard. Sure.
Right. So that's why I thought that way, but now that you're saying this, it's Pashut, that's not so. Right, so what is the pshat? You guys hear what he's saying? Again, let's just take one person at a time. Let's take one person at a time. So you have Rav Papa. Rav Papa, what does Rav Papa say? What does Rav Papa say, Lamaisa? Right? Mesachli Bakuvia is chayv in Shua Zedis. Melech is part of Shua Zedis. Right? Because a melech is in a royal ad min haTorah, Mesachli Bakuvia is only midrabbanan. So they come along the Rishonim and say, what's the chilek? So the Rashba says, few chilukim, minor nafkaminas, if the Mesachli Bakuvia would get up there and testify, then it would be Mahani Tvisa, let's say. Let's just go with that one for now. Okay? Good. Comes along Rav Acha Bar Yaakov and says, nope. They're both not Chayim and Shua Seidus. Right? They're both not Chayim and Shua Seidus. So again, so we had two possibilities within Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. Is he saying that I agree to everything you hold? I agree to everything you hold. It's just that. That's not enough to be Mechayev you in a Shua Seidus. Meaning, I agree with you that if a Mesachli Bakuvia would testify, you'd be chayiv, it would work lenyan tfisa. So is that enough to mechayiv somebody Shua Seidus? So Rav Papa said yes, Rav Acha Bar Yaakov says no. And therefore, you could even argue within Rav Papa that the Melech is also Mahani Tfisa. That's what I was saying before. But the problem is, then it makes it a more complicated machlokes than just one thing. Right? You hear what I'm saying? I didn't realize that before. It makes it more complicated. I'm trying to keep things less complicated. I mean, it doesn't mean it's wrong, it just means it's more complicated, which is not good. It's hard, right? I mean, Lamaisa, it is within... No, I'm sorry. I was looking at the wrong Rashi. One second. Kol shekein melech, that if you hold Mesachli Bakuvia is pasul min derabbanan, and pasul, right, as part of Mishua Seidus, kol shekein melech, min derayso lechazin, right? Yeah, so you can't. I don't think it works, no. You're going to say Mahani Tfisa by a Melech according to Rav Papa? How does that make any sense? No. But I thought he said in the Rishimus that according to Rashi, you could argue that by the Melech it's Mahani Tfisa. It's very hard to say, no? Certainly not within the Rashba. Certainly not within Tosos, is hard to know. Yeah, I don't know why we want to Dafka say that Rashi would hold that way. It's not making life easier for Rashi. Meaning, the way we developed on Thursday at least, and Thursday and Friday, within the Rashba and Tosvos, that it's definitely not a Psul Gavra. So within, for Misaki Bakuvia, that's fine. But it doesn't seem like the Melech is a Psul Gavra either. And yet, it's hard to say that by the Melech would be Mahani Tfisa, and therefore what? And therefore he's part from Shua's Eidus. It's no good. So I got to think about that more. Why would, again, maybe I read it wrong, I'm not sure. Why would the Rishima say that he's Chayiv, if he would be made, it would do something? Meaning, conceptually, that's nice, but it doesn't work within the actual person who said it. I don't know. That's weird. I don't know. Maybe I just read it wrong. I'm not sure. Did you see that piece? No, I don't know. He says it like Pashut, but why? I didn't realize it until you pointed it out. But it's true. Like, why would you say that? And then why wouldn't the Melech swear Shua Seidus? Meaning, if the Rashba is right, then why wouldn't the Melech swear Shua Seidus? He should. Saying again. You could say that Rashi is this one sheet out on an island, and that's all there is. But again, why? Why do you want to choose to say that? Very sure. I don't know. Maisa, whatever you hold in Rashi, the Rambam is clear that she'ilu he'idu lo hayu mechayven be'edusan mamon. Right? If they would be meyid, there would be no chi of mamon based on their testimony. And therefore, that's not enough to generate a Shavuos Eidus. That's the Rambam Shita. What would he say about Tfisa? Impossible to know at this point. not enough information in the Rambam to know what he would say about such a thing. Pashtus is... If he would have thought that it helps, he would have said something about it. You don't know, but it's always helpful if he would have said something, if it works for that. Okay. I'm going to try to work a little more on what he's saying within Rashi. It's very, I have to try to figure that out. But Lamaisa, he has a very nice idea here about once we say that the Psul Melech is not a Psul Gavra, it's not a psul in the etzim of the aid. Perhaps one could suggest that edus shebishtar is kosher edus even from a melech. And he says this based on a very famous piece in the Reb Chaim. Just out as a show of hands, or not even a show of hands, just a show of acknowledgement. How many people have seen or heard of that piece in the Reb Chaim before? What? The famous shtar one, how shtar raya versus shtar kinyan is, half of it is shtar kinyan versus shtar raya. The Rambam holds what is a real shtar, what is not a real shtar. And then the concept of edem shebishtar, or it's ki'ilu, they had drisha v'chakira before. Right? So that's an important yisod in that Reb Chaim brings out. And if you look in the Rambam is very difficult because he writes... That the whole din of shtaris is only midrabbanan, right? He says the whole really there's a din d'oraisa mi pm velo mi piksav, right? You have to say the testimony verbally, and you can't write down your testimony and bring it to Bezin, and that everybody agrees to. So Mamela, the Rambam seems to say that negates all shtaris, Because shtaros are only rabbinic institutions that the Rabbanan said that under these circumstances we're going to allow edus bichsav, and therefore it's you know, it's a din midrabban. However, as it's necessary to point out, the Ravid doesn't understand. First of all, you have to ask yourself, like, how do we ever have such a thing as a get? Right? How do you have a get? Rambam has Hilchos Gittin, he believes in Gittin, right? What? Right, so even if, you know, and an even bigger Raya, there's Hilchos Gittin in the Rambam, right? So, I'm saying the Rambam holds it's a get, right? So there is such a thing as a shtar kinyan, and he also holds that there's a minat Torah, you can be kona with kesef, shtar, and bia. And he holds you can be kona, you know, with fields with kesef, shtar, and chazaka. And there's clearly shtaros in the Torah, right? So how is he writing that the whole idea of Eid Hashem Ishtar is only a din midrabanan? Yeah.
Because then you
need the Ishtar. Which type of Eidus? Meaning what? You mean you need Eidim for what? You're saying the Eidim on the Mesiris Aget, right? Okay. But Lamaisa, at the end of the day, you don't have the Eidim Mesira, you could use the Eidim Chasima for certain things, right? And we, you know, and it's clear that the Rambam accepts the concept of Eidus Shebishtar. So Reb Chaim makes the whole chiluk. He says that no. When the Rambam says that a shtar is really this or mipiyam alom b'biksavam, that's all a din in shtarei raya. When you what we call nowadays a receipt, right? You have a receipt. You go to the store, you buy something, you get a receipt. You make a major business deal. You have many tens of receipts. And I don't know. I'm not any kind of businessman, and I've only ever bought and sold an apartment and bought a house, and I must have signed each time at least 30, 40 documents. You know, they're very makbid on the shtarei raya when it comes to these inyanim. So the Reb Chaim has this chiluk where he says that the Rambam holds that the edus of a shtar raya is a din midrabanan. However, the edus in a shtar kinyan is not a din midrabanan. That's obviously a din midraisa, and the reason behind it, anybody remember the reason why he considers a shtar to be a valid, what's the major thing that you need to validate the Eidus Shebishtar, to give it a din shtar? It's the Das HaMeschayev, right? That's the yeshivishism, I think, that they quote, B'Shem Rav Chaim, is that a shtar has a special din, it's called Eidus Bechsav, L'Das HaMeschayev, right? That the shtar itself counts because of the Das HaMeschayev. And Bekitzer, that din of a shtar patters all of the edim in the shtar from the dinim of Drisha v'chakira. Because Drisha v'chakira is a specific din in Kabbalah's edis in Beis Din. And Memela, in other words, there's never a din that you're chayef to give Drisha v'chakira to the edim of a shtar. Even though we hold Minat Torah, there's Drisha v'chakira for edis both of Mamonos and for Nefashos. And similarly, we hold that Eidus has to be given ba'amida. There's never been a hakpada that the Eidim of a shtar have to sign it ba'amida, right? We don't care about these things. These are all halachos that are associated with Kabbalah's Eidus in Beis Din. And if you say that the Melech is only a psul for Kabbalah's Eidus in Beis Din, so then, Mela, a melech who's made in a shtar, l'chora would be considered good edus, since it's not a psul in him. It's only a psul in accepting his edus in Beis Din, not subjecting him to certain, you know, things that are beneath his kavod. So it's not beneath his kavod. Somebody hands him a shtar, he witnesses something, or he wants to create a shtar kinyan, he could sign on the shtar kinyan. And that would be considered Eidus Bechsav, that's not subjected to Drisha V'Chakira, it's not subjected to the din of Amdu Shnei Anashim, and therefore the Eidus of a Melech in a Shtar could be valid. That's one of the two Nafkaminas he wants to say. And the other Nafkamina would be, do we passel the other part of the Kat if one of them is a Melech? So that's a questionable din, because That has a little more, a few more details attached to it that God willing, we'll talk about tomorrow. Okay, so let's hold over here.